unprecedented in access to top physicians and the location within the NYU Langone Medical Center. This is Dr. Radio.
Welcome back to the Men's Health Show. I'm Dr. Stacey Loeb, and I'm your host here at NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City. Tonight, we are discussing pelvic floor exercises in men. Many of you may have heard of Kegel exercises as something that women do, like after they've had a baby or for incontinence. But for some reason, it's gotten a lot less attention in men, even though it is possible. So we did just discuss this a little bit with Joe Milios, who's a physiotherapist specializing in men's pelvic floor exercises in Australia. And now, for the next segment, I'd like to invite on another urologist from here in the United States, Dr. Andrew Siegel, who is a urologist at Hackensack University Medical Center, an assistant clinical professor of urology at the University of Medicine of New Jersey, and the director of the Center for Continence Care. Welcome, Dr. Siegel.
Thank you for having me on, Stacey. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So the reason I thought that this would be nice to bring on Dr. Siegel, in addition to Joe Milios, is just for some different perspectives on the topic. And it turns out that Dr. Siegel just published a large review of all of the published studies on pelvic floor exercises in men, which has received a lot of attention, even the New York Times, why this could possibly have received so little attention in men. So what do you think about this whole thing, Dr. Siegel? What are Kegel exercises, and why do you think that not many people know about this for men?
Well, Kegel exercises are exercises of the male pelvic floor muscles or female pelvic floor muscles. They've been around for eons and ages. They were described several millennium ago by Hippocrates and Galen, and they were performed in the gymnasiums and thought to bring on general health, spiritual health, and sexual health. And it wasn't until the late 1940s that a gynecologist from Los Angeles area, Dr. Arnold Kegel, popularized these exercises for women after childbirth, and the with the purpose of trying to improve some of the obstetrical trauma in terms of urinary control issues in women, as well as pelvic relaxation, dropped bladders, and sexual issues as well. And men have gotten short shrift with respect to pelvic floor exercises. Urologists for years have employed them for men with stress incontinence, leakage with sneezing, coughing, laughing, lifting, etc., particularly in men after a radical prostatectomy. And some urologists have also used them for overactive bladder, a sense of sudden urgent desire to urinate, the need to get to the bathroom in a hurry, not always being able to get there on a timely basis, because a Kegel exercise is done appropriately can inhibit that involuntary contraction of the bladder. But Kegels have never really made it to prime time in terms of sexual dysfunction, whether it be erection issues or ejaculation issues. And the truth of the matter is that several of the pelvic floor muscles in the male have an important and rather profound effect on sexual function and ejaculation. I mean, for example, the muscle known as the ischiocavernosus muscle is responsible for getting the blood pressure in the penis to hypertensive levels. I mean, way above systolic blood pressure, literally responsible for bone-like rigidity. And when that muscle gets weakened with the aging process, et cetera, or for even from disuse, atrophy, it can affect sexual function adversely. And by the same token, another very important muscle known as the bulbocavernosus muscle is essentially the motor of ejaculation. And when that muscle contracts rhythmically, it causes the propulsion of semen through the urethra. So the premise is, by exercising these muscles, by getting them stronger, there can be definite improvements in sexual function in terms of erection as well as ejaculatory function.
You know, this is fascinating, Dr. Siegel, because Joe Milios was talking to us just briefly, and you can definitely expand on this about, the use of pelvic floor muscle therapy for people with problems with erections and just trying to build up those aspects. But you didn't really discuss as yet about ejaculation and the importance of the muscles and having proper ejaculation. So can you talk a little bit about, in your study, some of the evidence that you found regarding better control of ejaculation? For example, you know, the very difficult and embarrassing problem of premature ejaculation. So somebody, is just having difficulty holding that back. Is that something that is actually amenable to retraining the muscles in that area?
Stacey, absolutely yes. I mean, there have been numerous studies showing the efficacy of pelvic floor muscle training regimens for improving premature ejaculation. Nobody knows exactly why it works, but we certainly know that this bulbocavernosus muscle is the muscle behind ejaculation, and that the muscle can weaken with the aging process, and that strengthening it can facilitate ejaculation. I mean, for years and years, Masters and Johnson technique called the squeeze technique was espoused and utilized. And essentially, that technique was withdrawal during intercourse with squeezing the head of the penis until the sense of ejaculatory urgency disappeared, and then thereafter resumption of sexual intercourse. Now, that is a very clumsy technique, not always effective, but it can be effective, but it requires a very willing partner. Now, what pelvic floor training and exercises can do is the following. The way that squeeze technique essentially works is that when the head of the penis is squeezed, it induces a bulbocavernosus reflex in which when the head of the penis squeezes, there's a reflex contraction of the pelvic floor muscle. So an alternative to this clumsy approach is to, at the moment of imminent ejaculation, stop thrusting and moving and do a sustained contraction of the pelvic floor, which is essentially the squeeze technique without the squeeze, in an effort to short-circuit the premature ejaculation. And this has shown to be effective. And numerous studies, interestingly, have come out of Italy.
Okay. So basically, there is hope then for men who have premature ejaculation that if they could train this muscle, that maybe instead of actually completely having to withdraw the penis and do anything cumbersome, they may actually just be able to do a sustained contraction
exactly
where they are that would prevent them from ejaculating at that moment.
And another ejaculatory situation that is a very common complaint to us urologists, as men age, they complain that all aspects of sexuality wither to some extent, and that there seems to be less seminal volume, there's less sensation, there's less force of ejaculation, there's less trajectory, it's more of a meager dribble, and by strengthening the bulbocavernosus muscle and other pelvic floor muscles, it can optimize ejaculatory function.
Fascinating. Well, that I guess I'm learning something new from this also. For anyone who's just tuning in, by the way, this is the Men's Health Show, Sirius XM Channel 81. I'm your host, Dr. Stacey Loeb, here at NYU Langone Medical Center. Joining me for this segment is Dr. Andrew Siegel, who's a urologist at Hackensack University and also the director of the Center for Continence Care. He's just come out with a big new paper that's summarizing all the evidence on pelvic floor exercises or Kegels for men. So please do feel free to call. It's 877-NYU-DOCS or 877-698-3627. So, Dr. Siegel, we've just been talking a little bit about premature ejaculation and other ejaculatory issues and how actually training your pelvic floor can be helpful for that, which is a huge eye-opener because, this is definitely something that's embarrassing and very problematic. Something else that you talked about in your study that we haven't talked about much, but is another very common problem that men see urologists about, is post-void dribbling, or that little amount of dribble of pee after someone has already finished urinating. So can you talk a little bit about that problem and how you think that might be amenable to exercises of the pelvic floor?
Yes, this is a very unserious but common problem, post-void dribbling. It typically happens to men above the age of 40 with increasing prevalence with age, but it can happen to men of any age and at any time, and it can be very embarrassing. You go to the bathroom, you head out, you dribble, and you've got a wet spot on your pants, and it's highly embarrassing. When I was in summer camp, there was an adage, I went something like, no matter how much you shake and dance, the less you drop end up in your pants. And that is true for many men. So of all the entities for which pelvic floor muscle training can be effective, post-void dribbling is a truly curable issue. By garnering and gaining strength in the specific muscle, the bulbocavernosus muscle, the very muscle that is the motor of ejaculation, the problem can be virtually cured, and I have cured it in many, many patients. This muscle, the bulbocavernosus muscle, in the 1909 Gray's Anatomy, was referred to as the ejaculator urine, because when you contract this particular muscle after urinating, it's a compression muscle that compresses the deep inner part of the urethra and literally just pushes out and milks the urine that remains in the inner urethra. So by gaining facility through pelvic floor muscle training programs, and at the end of urination, doing four or five good vigorous contractions of this muscle, you can virtually eject the residual urine that remains in the urethra and cure the problem.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So basically, you're saying that for any number of conditions where there's a lack of proper control over either urine or normal sexual functions, that by men learning how to better control these muscles, they can basically claim back the function that was lost.
Absolutely. And one other thing I'd like to add, Gray Story, the physiotherapist from Great Britain who did the landmark study on the effectiveness of pelvic floor muscle exercises for erectile dysfunction, discovered in her study that many men who had post-void dribbling were cured as a result of the efforts to cure the erectile dysfunction. And her conclusion was that pelvic floor muscle weakness associated with aging is associated with both sexual and urinary deficits in man, both of which problems can be rectified or at least improved through the use of proper pelvic floor muscle training regimens.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's a very interesting observation, actually, because, you know, I mean, as we know from some of the clinical studies in urology, there does seem to be this tracking together of lower urinary tract symptoms in men, urgency, frequency, other urinary complaints, and erectile dysfunction that seem to go together. And I don't think there's a lot of recognition of the concept that maybe there could be some kind of common etiology, including the fact that there's, you know, this deconditioning of these muscles that may be kind of a problem for both conditions.
And that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. So now you run the Center for Continence Care. So can you talk a little bit about how you like to think about this for patients who have issues with urinary control? So, I mean, we had a caller at the beginning of the evening, Carol, whose husband is leaking urine and was wondering about some potential exercises for him. So what are some of the things that you would do for a patient like that in your practice?
Well, I love conservative therapy. I love trying something simple that's non-invasive and not expensive and practical. So pelvic exercises versus medications versus surgery are certainly a first-line approach for many different kinds of incontinence. Now, I have found that the three main kinds of incontinence that we see are stress incontinence, and when we're talking about men right now, for example, stress urinary incontinence that typically follows radical prostatectomy or sometimes simple prostate surgery, and then there's rampant overactive bladder with urgency and urgent incontinence, and then there's post-void dribbling. So I think pelvic floor muscle training has utility for all three of those problems in men. And equally so in women. I mean, huge problems with stress incontinence after childbirth, aging, weight gain, menopause, chronic straining, et cetera, as well as huge issues with overactive bladder. And by gaining strength and facility in the levator ani muscle component of the pelvic floor muscles, which contributes to the external sphincter, it helps improve the cough reflex, in which there's a reflex contraction of the pelvic floor muscles with coughing. It helps improve the guarding reflex, in which there's more and more pelvic activity as the bladder fills with more urine. And the patient gets an improved facility to neutralize the incontinence. I mean, whether it's a man or a woman, they're taught that to recognize what the triggers are, whether it's sneezing, coughing, laughing, rising from a chair, and immediately before exposing themselves to that trigger, doing a good contraction of the pelvic floor muscles so as to brace the pelvic floor and try to preclude the ensuing incontinence.
Right. I mean, that makes complete sense. So basically, you're saying if somebody knows that they have, like, giggle incontinence, when they giggle, they're going to lose urine, or if they cough or sneeze, then if they feel that coming on, at that point they have been trained that that's when they contract the pelvic floor, and then they're able to prevent the leakage from occurring.
Absolutely.
Fascinating. Let's just go to the phones for a minute. We've had John waiting patiently from Texas. Hi there, John.
Hi. I had a question about these exercises tell us to do, but how do you actually do those exercises?
Great question, John. So, Dr. Siegel, what would you tell John or some of the other listeners who may have an interest in trying some of this? Is there like a basic tip you could give them to get started, or do you think it's something that they need to either see a doctor or watch videos?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and traditionally in the past, in many doctors' offices, a patient was given a brief handout, a little brochure describing these, and it never worked well. It's impossible to do a sophisticated exercise regimen with just some words on paper. So for the last year and a half, I've actually been working on a project called The Private Gym, which is an exercise DVD for the intent of providing a simple program so that men and women, whether they're urology patients or not, can learn how to do these exercises at home in a follow-along progressive fashion. So it's actually pretty complicated to learn what these muscles are and how to properly exercise them. There's a lot of misinformation on the internet, and so my suggestion is check out the Private Gym website.
And in terms of, so that actually sounds like a fantastic resource, so hopefully other listeners can take advantage of this also, being able to actually watch a video. And I had a spinoff question. So if you do see a doctor and they give instructions on how to do these exercises, you know, you mentioned that a pamphlet really isn't sufficient. Do you think that some of the more complex tools we have called biofeedback, where the patient is watching a monitor and seeing what happens when the muscle contracts, has that been shown to be helpful?
Yes, that can definitely be helpful. I mean, you know, physiotherapists, particularly pelvic floor physiotherapists, can have a very positive impact on urinary and sexual issues, and very, very often they are used as a resource by urologists and gynecologists, and patients are referred to their offices for a number of sessions of one-on-one instruction with some form of biofeedback that can be very helpful. Now, I don't think everybody needs biofeedback, because most of the time, with adequate instruction, you can figure out if you are using the muscles properly. But it is certainly a nice resource to have.
Great. So, John, does that help give you a few things to consider?
Yes, ma'am, it does. Thank you all very much.
Thanks so much, John, for calling. So, Dr. Siegel, before we have to wrap up, is there anyone that you would say should not do pelvic floor exercises, or do you think that most men could benefit from this in even a preventative way?
I think that's a great point. I mean, we go to the gym and we do cardio workouts and we do resistance workouts, we do core workouts, and it's not always to fix a deficit, it's to stay fit and help prevent problems in the future and to maintain ourselves. And I look at the pelvic floor in the exact same vein. Why wait till you have trouble? Why not try to preempt a problem before it even exists? Now, it's a little bit hard to talk somebody into that when they're functioning well to go do an exercise program, but we do it for other muscles of the body, and I think that sooner or later this is going to become the norm.
Mm-hmm. So you think that this is going to take off now and that more men, even earlier in their trajectory, perhaps when they first start noticing problems with erections or the urination is first starting to get bad, instead of looking immediately to medications, that hopefully will have a greater emphasis on at least trying to train them with their pelvic floor first.
Absolutely. And just to take it another step further, I mean, people who use Viagra and Cialis and Levitra and Stendra and so forth, some of them just use a very low dose, and some of them use it what I call recreationally. They don't really need it, but it provides a little bit of a boost at the right time. So why resort to medications first when you could potentially improve your function through a series of exercises?
Right. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. So I think that's a great message for the listeners. Can you just repeat again the website in case other listeners would like to look up the videos?
The name of the product is called The Private Gym, and it's basically a progressive a program that goes over the course of either 4 weeks or 8 weeks, depending on your facility. And the website is www.privategym.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Siegel, for coming on. It's been a really excellent show, and I appreciate having you as a guest.
Absolutely my pleasure, Stacey. Thank you.
Absolutely. So if anyone is just tuning in, we've just been speaking with Dr. Siegel about the importance of pelvic floor muscle training for a variety of conditions, whether it's urinary leakage, erection problems, or even premature ejaculation. So definitely great to talk to your doctors about exercises even before potentially considering medications or along with it. If anyone missed this segment, just remember that you can listen to Dr. Radio On Demand. The Men's Health Show is live every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern with repeats throughout the week. We're going to take a short break. Then we're going to turn over to a new topic, which is male breast cancer. So this is very exciting. We have some experts coming on. Please do stay tuned or call us to discuss this, 877-NYU-DOCS. Be right back.